Good morning. It is certainly good to see each of you this morning, and we appreciate the opportunity to come and speak and proclaim God's Word. Opening your Bibles, if you would, to Jonah, the book of Jonah, and let us consider a few things this morning from this particular book. Noticing the mistake that Jonah makes, specifically the retreat of Jonah, where Jonah had a command or a charge given to him, and Jonah chose to do something entirely different than what was charged him. So let's look at this and let's see what we can take from his mistake that we may apply to our lives, that we will not make the same mistake. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 9. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. What a beautiful statement made by Jonah, understanding that Jonah is saying this in a context to where he is on a ship. He is sailing in the opposite direction from what God has told him to do, or where God has told him to go. Jonah is saying this to men that know not the Lord God. They worship false gods, idols. But notice with me his proclamation. He first states, I am an Hebrew. Hebrew. The word Hebrew meant one that was beyond the river. That is the river Euphrates. These people are known to be not a part or not like everyone else in this region. They're different. They're different. They're even referred to by a name that separates them from everyone else. Hebrew, meaning from beyond the river. You're not part of our people. You're a stranger to us. You may live amongst us and dwell amongst us and have goods and things of that sort and make trade with one another, but you are different. You are not naturally of this people. You're from beyond the river. The word Christian means one that follows Christ. Christ said, be ye not of this world, but be ye transformed from it. Don't be conformed to it. Don't fit into it. Be different. Be separate. He made a statement, Jonah did. I am a Hebrew. I'm different. Do we make a statement today in our towns and our places of employment, where we go and watch our children play sports or to the neighbor's house? Does that shout out to other people, I'm a Christian, I'm different? You see, Jonah, he was known to be beyond the river. We need to focus that when this life is over, we need to, in essence, be looking at that home that is beyond the river of life. Not conform to this world. Separate. Be separate. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. For we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We should be set apart. We're different. Different. Notice with me in the second place, there's a problem. For he not only said, I am a Hebrew, but he also said, and I fear the Lord. What a statement, Jonah. What a statement to make to a group of people who fear every image that you can place before them and say, this is a God. But Jonah says, I fear the Lord. Let me ask you something. According to Jonah's actions here, did he fear the Lord? You see, Jonah goes out of his way to disobey God. Notice in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Here you have the very charge from the Lord to Jonah. Specific instructions of what to do. What does Jonah do? Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He rose up to flee from the Lord. Did he know what God would have him do? Was he ignorant of these things? Look with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 2. It's recorded here. It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged on the earth. Did Jonah have knowledge of what fearing the Lord meant? Notice in verse 24 of the same chapter of Deuteronomy. And the Lord commanded us to do all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. And it is at this day. Are you seeing the pattern of what it means to say, I fear the Lord God? Turn over a page or two and notice chapter 8 and verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. To walk after him. And to fear him. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, do you remember what Jonah said over here to these men? He says, I fear the Lord. I have to ask, Jonah, your actions are not showing that you fear the Lord God. Because if you fear the Lord God, you're going to do what? Keep his commandments. Well, Jonah, maybe you just did not hear what the Lord said. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It was delivered to Jonah directly. There was no distractions on. I've been sitting in front of the TV trying to relax and watching a movie or watching a particular show, and my wife has said, Chance, two or three times. I've not heard it. I'm focused on something else. Possibly he could have not heard the Lord speaking to him. No, because verse 3 says, after the command was given him what to do, but, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Brethren, when he was given that commandment, he decided right then and there, I am not going to do this. I am going to go the opposite way. Now, where it was at, geographically speaking, Jonah was 500 miles, roughly, from Nineveh. From where he was, Tarshish was the complete polar opposite of Nineveh. You had to board a ship and go across the Mediterranean Sea to get to Tarshish. He intended to flee the commandment of God. How would we, as Christians, looking back at this, understanding Romans 15:4, that whatsoever things written aforetime were for what? Our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. Put ourselves in Jonah's place and say, now, here I am, and the word of the Lord comes unto me and tells me that I need to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is up before the Lord. Would I do what Jonah has done? Would I flee? Now, to put into context, Nineveh, when you think of wicked, wicked people, brethren, this was contender number one. You can look in 2 Kings and have recorded for you some of the atrocities of this great city, Nineveh. Nineveh would take prisoners and bring the word punishment and torture to a whole new level. Jonah, I dare say, had good reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh on many levels. But when God says go, does it matter to whom we go? No. Because if God says go, that's what we're to do. That's exactly what we're to do. So, Jonah, we couldn't turn and run as you did. But let me ask you this in all sincerity and all love. Are there Christians today? Are there Christians today? And don't look at the person beside you or the person in front of you or behind you or your spouse or brother or anyone. Just look at yourself and say, is there any Christian today that knows what God would have them to do? A direct commandment from God. Yet, they will rise up and go the complete polar opposite way. Is that possible? Could that be Christians today? Not all Christians, but could that be Christians today? Notice with me in John chapter 15 and verse 14. Christ speaking, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. If you do whatsoever I command you. Wow. Notice with me the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Is it possible that Christians do not obey the Word of God? Is that possible? Luke 6 and verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is it possible? Notice in the third place, the position. For he said, that is Jonah, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. The God of heaven. Bear with me on this pronunciation of the Hebrew word here. It's heaven is shamayim. Shamayim. That particular word in this context describes the totality of heaven. Not the sky above where the birds fly. Not where the stars are hanging. But beyond that, each of those are included in this word. It's everything. Heaven, the highest of high places. When these people would worship their idols, they would be referred to as setting them in a high place. They set those idols up in high places for one purpose, and that was to be closer to that God. A highest place as you could possibly get on this earth. And you are still under the sole of the Almighty's foot. There's not a high place high enough to reach His place of authority. And that place from which He rules and governs. Unfortunately, man has tried. Man has tried to reach that place. Notice in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth. Whose top may reach heaven. No, I'm afraid not. It's not going to reach heaven. It's not going to reach that position of authority where God Almighty resides. It's not going to do it. And then notice in that same statement, the God of heaven. Notice God. Notice the name God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am has sent me. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God. It starts with Him. It ends with Him. He is I am because He is forever. Forever. He has been there. He is there. He will always be there. He is constant. I am. I am. Notice in the fourth place, the power. Jonah said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Notice that God has the power to produce. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who did that? God did that. Nehemiah 9:6. God had made the dry land to appear. He had formed the seas together. Who did that? God did that. Not only does He have the power to produce, He has the power to provide. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 and verse 8. And Abram said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Who will produce it? God. Who will provide? God. But notice also, God has the power to not only produce and provide, He has the power to pardon. The power to pardon. Notice with me in chapter 3 of Jonah. And verse 9 and 10. Chapter 3. The people say, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said He would do unto them, and He did it not. God has the power to provide pardon. First John chapter 1. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What power of God, not only to produce, to provide, but to pardon. In this context of Jonah, Jonah did go forth, as we know, with some encouragement, and he preached unto that city. And we see from chapter 3 that that city was saved because they repented of what they were doing wrong, that it was called wicked in the sight of God. If we say that we are Christians, as Jonah claimed to be in Hebrew, should we not examine ourselves and say, am I different than the world? Am I different from this people? I'm set apart from them because I'm a Christian. I have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Unlike Jonah, I knew when God commanded me that I did not get up and turn away from His commands. In Matthew 28, verses 18, Christ gathers them together unto Him and He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Brethren, there is no other place in which power or authority can be found but in Christ Jesus. That is the only place. And He tells those that gathered unto them, He said, "Go and teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them them that you have just baptized. You teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Did you hear the command? Did you hear it? The obedient, the Christian, will obey. He will confess that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. He will repent of sins that is in his life or her life, Acts 2 and verse 38. He will be baptized for the remission of those sins, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he will strive to walk in the newness of life, to be separate, to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, so that he may receive a crown of righteousness in that last day. Brethren, for those of us who have obeyed that command and become children of God, life is real. You stump your toe, it hurts. You fall down in real life from time to time. You may fall down spiritually as well. You may read this text from Jonah and say, there is no way in this world that if God commanded me to do a certain thing, that I would do the complete opposite of. Sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes we may do that. Knowingly, God don't want me doing this. God don't want me doing this. 1 John 1, 9. He says, if you confess those sins to Him, that He is faithful and just to restore you back. He's faithful. Brethren, Galatians 6, 9. We may faint. We may faint. But He's made provisions to help us, to regain us, that we may be with Him forever and ever. What a loving God. Will you serve Him this morning? Will you strengthen your soul in Him, in His Word? If you've not obeyed the gospel, I urge you to this morning. If you have started to follow back into the world, to faint away from the gospel that can save you, I urge you to come back to Christ. Why not? Why not? Let that be known together as we stand and as we sing. I am resolved.